This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to be joined now by Mike Rizzo, GM and President of Baseball Ops of the Washington Nationals. He's brought to you by Burt and Herbert Bank. Unexpectedly different. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks.
Hey, Mike, guess what I'm holding right now in my hand?
What are you holding?
Careful.
Yeah, let me
what
see.
What do you have?
I've got some gift cards to Dudley's.
Oh, very nice.
Nice.
Look at that.
That's right.
Use them judiciously, please.
No, because you guys will just keep giving me more.
True.
Exactly.
That could run dry at some point.
We got to hang out at the rooftop anyway.
Hey, Mike, do you, Davey, or Derek Lilliquist, the pitching coach, have to give all the pitchers a pep talk before the series starts in Colorado with the thin air, the video game, like numbers and scores that Coors Field tends to produce? Does it affect their pitching mojo or their psyche when they know they have to go to Denver?
Yeah, I think the younger ones you may have to have a little conversation with them, but the veteran guys, they know what this place is all about. It's a tough place to pitch, and light air ball breaking balls don't spin as much, and ball travels. There's a lot of base hits in that field because the outfield is so big and you play so deep, and it's no accident that they have league leaders in hit. They have the batting champion all the time over there, and that's a great place to hit and a rough place to pitch, and you have to have the mindset offensively that you have to score, you have to bang with these guys and outscore them and make plays on defense and try and make pitches.
I wasn't here last week, Mike, but the week before you emphasized just playing, when I asked you about assessing the team's play, you emphasized just playing cleaner baseball. You wanted the team to pitch better, and certainly the bullpen had to perform better and not run into outs, play better defense. So over the last 10 days or so, what's your assessment?
Well, I like the way that we're playing the game. I think we're defensively, we've cleaned up a lot of mistakes, the early mistakes, and it's tough. Tough now. We're in a stretch right now that you're playing without two of your best players in Turner and Rendon, offensively and defensively. They're two great. They play both sides of the ball terrifically. So, they're missed in the middle and at the top of that lineup and on defense. So, but with the absence of those guys, Defoe's filling in admirably at shortstop. He can pick it over there and he makes the plays. And Howie Kendrick's been solid at third base. But, you miss those two guys defensively. Robles is, I think, really coming into his own in center field. His reputation of having a good, accurate arm is spreading through the league. And, he's made some nice plays out there. So I like that we're limiting teams to 27 outs and we're not running into outs on the bases, and our base stealing percentage is fine, right where we want it to be, and we're being aggressive on the bases, but not foolish on the bases. So we've cleaned up those parts of it. Our rotations had a little glitch this last time through. Corbin and Strasburg have been great. Max has had the contusion on his shin bone, and then he's got this little muscle thing on his side right now. So he's been he hasn't been the Max Scherzer of the last 8 years, and we've got to clean up our bullpen and pitch ahead in counts and not be getting in these leverage counts so much. 1-0, 2-0, 3-1 in Colorado is just murder on you.
Mm-hmm. I know we probably won't see Trey for a few weeks, but can you give us an update on Anthony and how he feels? How's the elbow?
The elbow's getting better. He got smoked on it pretty good. Luckily, it wasn't the bone, but it swelled up really, really horribly when he first got it. you know, they put the sleeve on them and they work them all day and all night. And the swelling is subsided quite a bit. Now it's all about getting range of motion and then, you know, getting some strength in it. You know, we still see him as days away, not weeks away. So, but you know, it was quite a contusion and in a bad spot. So you know, we're going to be cautious with him because you know, it's April and we need him for the long haul, and we don't want to rush him into it and then hurt some other part of his body or have the elbow not ready. So I do see him days away, not weeks away, but you know, it'll depend on how he comes to the ballpark, and we'll see overnight. You know, these guys do miracles with swelling nowadays, and once I think that's down and he gets full range of motion, I think that you know, he'll begin baseball activities, and it's not going to take him long, obviously, to get back into the swing of things.
You know, we'll get into the bullpen in a bit, Mike, but it's sort of the same thing. But the starting pitchings have been pretty darn good, right? Strauss pitched a gem the other day coming off the outing where I remember you said you liked how he pitched, just gave up three homers. But, you know, overall, you like the outing. Overall, you got to be pretty much thrilled with your starting pitching.
Yeah, the rotation is doing what they're supposed to do. You know what I mean? They we've had last couple of times through the rotation has been great. Like I said, Max had a little hiccup the other day. You know, pitching through a contusion and mm-hmm. and that type of thing. So, but you know, Corbin's been solid. Strauss has been great. You know, we're Sanchez and Hellickson are giving us chances to win games. And like I said, we're just trying to tread water and get through this period without two of our best players and see if we can get on a little bit of a roll, get some momentum, and play more consistent. Baseball offensively, defensively, starting pitching and bullpen wise, we haven't put all four facets together in a game yet. So, we're looking to get more consistent and to play consistently because we think that we can go on a little run here and win a handful of games in a row and, vault ourselves right to the top of the division.
Yeah, and give you some breathing room. So, obviously, if some of these guys don't turn around, you'll make some moves. One of the guys that you signed, 10 days or so ago, was Dan Jennings. I'm kind of fascinated by him. I look at his numbers. They're pretty crazy. I mean, he pitched pretty well, in years past. What are your options with him in terms of, how quickly could we see him?
Well, he's in the minor leagues getting ready to get to, to full activities. And he's kind of going through a mini version of spring training. He was in spring training with the team and then opted out of it. And we picked him up. So he's going to go to an affiliate and we're going to, see what he looks like and get some appearances under his belt. And, we'll have to extend him out and go back to backs and see if he can handle the rigors of a major league bullpen, such as you would do at the tail end of spring training. And we'll see where he's at. But yeah, he's a veteran left-handed reliever. We've seen him a lot in the past and has had success in the National League.
Well, he was with was that Milwaukee last year?
He was with Milwaukee last year. We saw him for a long time with Miami, he's a known commodity around the league. So.
Right. I'm just looking. I know it's early, Mike. I know you keep telling me that, and I believe you. It's only 22 games, whatever. But I just look at the division, four teams separated by a game and a half. I don't know how you feel. I think you told us this before the season, but I truly believe that I don't see anybody really kind of breaking away from the pack. Hopefully it's you guys, but just based on the rosters and how you guys have played through 3 weeks or whatever, 4 weeks, I think it's going to be a kind of a jumbled mess, at least through the All-Star break. We'll see what happens after that. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a meat grinder. I said that in spring training. I stick with it now. You've got a bunch of teams that have improved themselves over the winter. They're veteran laden. They've got good talent, and we're going to be beating on each other 19 times apiece all season. And the team that can withstand the hills and valleys of the season best will emerge as the champions. We think we're as good as anybody in the division, anybody in the National League, and we stick to that, and we just have to worry about ourselves. And if we play like we're supposed to play, I think that we're going to have a lot of success this season.
Joined by Mike Rizzo, GM and President of Baseball Operations for the Washington Nationals. The Nats are 1-7 in series openers this year. It's still early, but is that something that concerns you that the Nats get behind the eight ball early in series so far?
Yeah, you know, you like to win that first game. It kind of sets up the series for you. Obviously, you can't sweep unless you win that first game. So, the first game of a series are often the busiest, most active days of a series, because that's when you go through the advanced reports. That's when you do all your major preparation for the upcoming series and that type of thing. So, you know, we're going to take a look at how we're preparing and what we're doing and maybe tweak a few things. But I just think that it's an anomaly right now, and we just have to win series and try and get out of the gates quickly and give ourselves an opportunity to go on a little bit of a run. And with our rotation and our lineup, even as banged up as it is, I think that we have a run in us in the near future. And I think that when we start putting it all together, I think we'll see that.
Well, I think some guys are starting to heat up. I mean, Zim's obviously heating up a little bit. That's a good sign. And then Dozier, you know, we had heard that he can get cold, but then he gets hot. And he seems like he's starting to heat up, too.
Well, you know, they're professional hitters. They've been through the rigors many times. They're certainly not panicking. You look at Brian Dozier and his track record over his career. You know, he's a very slow starter. His April OPS is the lowest out of any month that he has all season, and usually ends up with his typical numbers. And, you know, that's kind of what we're looking for, just to put up typical Brian Dozier numbers. I think that'll be impactful for us. And Zim, if he's healthy, we know what we can expect from him. If he plays his 135 to 140 games this season, you know, we're confident that he'll do what he does. And I think the rest of the lineup will kind of fall into place after that. You know, when you get Soto hasn't really got on a roll yet. Rondon was really, really hot. And then he's going to be out sideline for a little bit. And, you know, Trey Turner, one of the best offensive players in the league, and is going to miss extended period of time. So we need to tread water, and we need to have our depth come through with the Wilmer Defoes and the Howie Kendricks and the Jake Knowles of the world, that you can plug them in there and win some games. And that's exactly what we're trying to do.
So with two brand new catchers with Gomes and Suzuki, I can imagine, it's got to be a bit of a transition. Obviously, going through spring training, I'm sure the starting pitching got comfortable with them. But have you noticed anything new or different with those two guys? And are you comfortable with their comfort zone with the starting pitchers and how they're calling games?
Oh yeah, their preparation is second to none of that I've ever been around. They're the hardest working, best prepared duo of catchers that I've been around. They're kind of pseudo pitching coaches. Both of these guys are into it each and every game, and their most important trait and a successful game for them is not determined by going 3-for-4 or 4-for-4. It's by how that pitching staff does, and that's their entire focus. And they're extremely prepared, and these pitchers trust them to the utmost. And we couldn't be happier with not only the production that we're getting from them, solid contribution each and every day, really good at bats. But the preparation, the calling of games, and the defensive framing and blocking of pitches, we're really happy with where those two guys are.
Good stuff. Hey, Mike, real quick, when you look around the league, I know you don't pay attention to the other teams unless you're playing them, but does anything surprise you, anything jump out at you here through the first 25 games or so?
I think the one thing that's kind of a little bit of a surprise is bullpenning in general. You come into the season and bullpenning was a key component to the off season. A lot of high priced relievers going out there being signed, and there's a lot of bullpen struggling, and it's something that you see each and every club you go to. There's guys that are struggling in their bullpens, and I think that has been something I've seen early. I've seen some really hot starts for some offensive players, and I think that's going to continue on once the weather gets warmer. I only see more offense coming into play, and uh, you know, I think that, you know, looking at our own club in particular, is that I think that we're just scratching the surface on the offensive efficiency that we're going to you know, possess during the middle and end to the season. Once the weather warms up, I think that we're going to score a lot of runs, and you know, I feel confident about our pitching staff holding teams to not so many runs. So feel good about that.
Mike, a few more out on the road in Colorado, then back to D.C. for a 7-game homestand. We'll talk to you again next week.
Great, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
That's Mike Rizzo, GM and President of Baseball Operations for the Washington Nationals, brought to you by Burke and Herbert Bank, unexpectedly different.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the show. Juxon 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Burke and Herbert Bank want you to bank on the cycle during tonight's game. Josh P. from Rockville has the chance to win $100,000 if any Washington baseball player hits for the cycle. No cycle, Josh still takes home a $100 gift card courtesy of Burke and Herbert Bank. Enter for your chance to win during next Wednesday's game. Details at thefandc.com/contest. Here's a detail. On the Mattress Warehouse hotline right now is the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins football program. It's Mike Locksley. The spring game is this Saturday at Capital One Field at Maryland Stadium. Coach Locks, welcome to the show. How are you?
What's going on?
Going on, Coach. Hey, man, the last time we talked to you, you had just been, you'd just been named the coach, and you were putting together your staff. I think we asked you about Elijah Brooks, who you eventually, hired as your, I believe.
Yeah,
you
kind of denied it, but we knew that was happening.
I know.
We already had the scoop.
But can you believe?
Inside information.
That's right.
We had it.
Can you believe we're already to the spring game? Man, time is flying.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely flying. But I'm excited about it. Excited to finally be able to see our guys go out and perform in a game-like condition. You know, we've had a couple of scrimmages so far, but they usually, for us, they've been very situational. Mm-hmm. But this one, we're going to split the team up and try to make it as competitive a game as we can to be able to evaluate our guys and how they play under the lights. And, you know, we got a little extra motivation because the winners get steak and lobster, and then the losers are going to eat beans and weenies. So it should be a competitive,
great,
fun game.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Beans and weenies.
Oh, it's a steak and lobster, weenies, man. They get surf and turf.
Is that
before. What Saban did?
The other guys
did?
Get fresh and beans.
Did Saban do that down in Alabama?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. It's exactly what we did, and coaches were included. So, you know, I kind of like beans and weenies, but I ate steak and lobster a couple times down there.
Yeah,
I bet you
bad.
Did. I bet you did.
Not bad. We want to talk to you about Dwayne Haskins a little bit with the draft coming up here about 35 hours away. We know you have a tight relationship with Dwayne and his family and everything. We know initially he had committed to come to Maryland. And I think he even said publicly, right, that he said in the last few days, if Coach was still there, that he would, 99% sure, still be at Maryland.
Had the big fish on the line and everything.
Yeah. Talk about your relationship with Dwayne and what you know about his family and then the kind of player that he is.
His dad sounds a little bit high maintenance.
No, not at all.
No, really?
Yeah, I couldn't. It's exact opposite. You know, I was fortunate that the very first day that he and his family touched down in Maryland, I had an opportunity to meet them. They came over to visit us here at Maryland, and we actually had a summer camp going on, and that was the first exposure I had to he, his dad, his mom, his sister, and I'm talking about a great, great family. You know, and I'm sure a lot has been made, and, you know, everybody likes to put some of these quarterback dads in these boxes as if they're, you know, but I know this, his dad made a tremendous sacrifice bringing his son down here to play in the DMV, and you know, they're a very tight-knit family. You know, their family's based on faith. And, I mean, good, good people. Mm-hmm. You know, as a quarterback, there's no doubt, you know, the guy is as talented as quarterback that I've been around. You know, we had him committed here to Maryland, and then obviously we made a change here. And I ended up taking a job down in Alabama, and he opened up his recruitment process. And He ended up back at a school that I know that was near and dear to him that he had always wanted to go to. But, no, we did have him on the hook here, and we saw him as being the guy that could possibly be the franchise quarterback that we haven't had probably since Scotty McBrien was playing quarterback here.
Scotty,
Coach, I'm sure that Nick Saban and company wanted you to try to bring him down to Tuscaloosa. Why did that not work out?
Yeah, I mean, by the time I got to Tuscaloosa in late February, process was already over. You know, I didn't go to Alabama until sometime after signing day. So, you know, for me, the recruiting process kind of didn't time up with when Dwayne was making the decision and by the time I made a decision of where I was going. So we had two pretty good quarterbacks down at Alabama as well. But, you know, it was fun to watch him from afar and see when Dwayne was finally given the keys to the offense at Ohio State this year, how successful he was able to be.
So you have no doubts at his success at the next level?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the way the kid works, his work ethic, his football IQ, you know, just a tremendous, tremendous skill set as a quarterback, accuracy, timing, you know, can throw every type of ball you want thrown, and then just – his football IQ is off the roof, is out of the roof in terms of just how smart he is as a football player.
So you probably don't pay attention to it because you got, you know, worried about your team. But you hear all these rumors about, you know, what NFL teams are looking for, if they like Kyler Murray, if they like Dwayne Haskins. We're hearing rumors now that the Redskins are really interested in Dwayne. You know, are the Cardinals going to take Murray one, or are they going to just stick with Josh Rosen? Do you have any thoughts on Kyler Murray and any of these other guys? You know, the Daniel Joneses of the world, Drew Lock. I mean, you saw a lot of these guys coaching against
them. Unfortunately, we ended up playing Kyler Murray in the playoffs this year. And,
right.
You know, the one thing I can remember about Kyler in that game was it was mandated by the little guy with the straw hat down in Alabama that, one, we score a lot of points, and, two, we keep him off the field. So you tell me how you do that as an offensive coordinator, it doesn't kind of worked that way, but we were able to get out to a big lead early, and then we kind of took the air out of the ball and really worked on controlling the clock because he is such a dynamic player. I mean, I'm talking about electric, and every time he touches the ball, there's the threat that he can run it
right
or throw it, and he made a ton of plays. But, you know, playing him in the playoffs and having an opportunity to see it live, man, he was a special, special player.
Then you ran into Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, then we ran into Trevor Lawrence. They had to bring that one up.
Huh? I'm sorry. Hey, yeah, we're good buddies. We can kid. Anyway, so let's talk about your quarterback situation. Obviously, when you come in, you know, when any new coach comes in, kids decide to transfer, and you had to deal with that with Kasim Hill, and you've got Pigram there. I know you got Josh Jackson coming in from Virginia Tech. You've got a freshman in from New Orleans. Can you kind of give us an update on the depth chart at that position right now, and are all those guys going to play on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, we got three guys in the program right now in terms of the scholarship players, you know, Tyler DeSue, Max Borgenslager, and then, you know, Piggy. And all three of those guys have really done a good job of trying to pick up the system. And you know, obviously with the first spring for us, the installation is as important as anything. And so we've tried to install roughly about 70% of our base systems in all three phases of the game. And, you know, all three of those guys have done a great job of picking it up. And now what we've got to do is kind of fine tune the how to, you know, they already know what to do. And now we got to teach them and continue to harp on the how to, which is the attention to detail that comes with the position. And so, you know, we add a couple of guys to the mix of the quarterback competition, you know, in this summer. And I can see this thing, you know, going into summer camp and fall camp, and we're going to give every guy an opportunity to put their best foot forward to show who gives us the best chance to win and who gives us the best chance at scoring points on offense. And so, you know, I'm excited about seeing how these guys compete.
So Josh Jackson can't be there until the summer.
Yeah, these guys won't be here at all. And all five of the quarterbacks won't be on campus together until we start our summer training program in late May, early June.
Gotcha. What about the rest of the roster? Where do the strengths lie? Where do the weaknesses lie?
Well, I mean, I think most, if you've watched Maryland football the last couple of years, one of the things that kind of jumped out to me as I watched it from afar is the running back room. I mean, we've got tremendous talent and competition at the running back position with Anthony McFarland, Javon Leak. You know, you got the Fleet Davis. And then we get Lolo Harrison back and Jake Funk back, who, again, two really talented players in their own right. So a lot of bodies in that room, a lot of talent in that room, and I'm excited to try to figure out ways to utilize each of their skill sets to help us be productive on the offensive end. You know, I really like our offensive line in terms of we got great size and athleticism. Probably don't have the depth that I think we're going to need, and, you know, but we'll add a couple pieces to that here this summer with some of the people we signed. And then, you know, our secondary and linebackers are both positions that I think, you know, especially on the inside part of our linebackers with Isaiah Davis coming back and Chance Campbell and those guys all have shown and played a lot of football around here. So excited about it.
Where do you rank this talent compared to the last time you were here with Randy?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, for me coming in from, you know, I showed back up here in 2012, Randy's second year, to what I walked into the door here. You know, I got to give credit to DJ and his staff. They did a tremendous job of recruiting the type of bodies you need to win in the Big Ten. You know, obviously, I also felt like coming in, I mean, we brought guys in like Stephon Diggs and Yannick Ngakoue and all these great players that came in with me when I came in 2012. So, you know, that 2012 season, you know, we went to back-to-back bowl games for the first time since 2001 when I was here before. And so I think they're very comparable. You know, I just like the way with us moving to the Big Ten, I was happy to come into a situation where we had some bodies on the offensive line and defensive line that we can continue to develop and help us try to play winning football.
Coach, I hope you don't mind me asking, but just getting back to the quarterback position, you obviously tried to bring Jalen Hurts up from Bama because, you know, he was looking to transfer and ultimately decided on Oklahoma. But, you know, you obviously had a great relationship with Jalen. Do you think that Jalen was close to deciding to come to College Park, or was he just kind of spreading his wings and visiting all the schools that he could and ultimately wanted to go to a bigger program with a better reputation at the time?
No, I mean, I felt like there was some sincere interest from us here. But again, you know, in this recruiting process, one of the things that I talk to our kids about and talk to our coaches about, you know, it's not the ones that you lose that beat you. It's the ones you take that can't play. And so we tried to focus in on taking kids that can help us win. And, you know, I felt really good about signing the quarterback we signed out of Louisiana. And, you know, we were able to get a grad transfer in here that has been very successful in his own right, you know, at Virginia Tech. And so, you know, I feel really good about the quarterback room. Jalen is a great player. You know, I had a strong relationship with him, you know, but we all make decisions that we feel are best for our individual needs. And obviously he felt Oklahoma would better suit him for what he was looking for. Mm-hmm. But I felt we had a sincere interest from him.
I mean, you're kind of known as being the recruiting guru. How often are you surprised by kids? Like, how often do you feel like you have a real good read on where you fit in? You know, whether you're at Alabama, Maryland, wherever you are, how often do the kids shock you?
I mean, you get one of those a recruiting cycle. You know, I can remember, and this is ironic, that, you know, the kid that tore us up in the national championship game, Justin Ross, was an Alabama kid that we were recruiting. And, you know, I literally spoke to him right before he headed to school to make his decision. And we were all of the assumption that he was coming to Bama, and he picked up the orange hat and it almost fell out my chair. So you usually do one of those a recruiting cycle. But the key is getting the other guys that you don't get that can play and help you win. And in all those places that I've been, we've been able to recruit guys to help us win. And you can't get them all, but we're sure going to work hard to try to get them.
Mm. All right, Coach. Well, good luck. Good luck this year. We'll talk to you, I'm sure, a few times.
Yeah, and it's a big day this Saturday on campus. The spring game, the football game starts at noon, and then you've got the women's and men's lacrosse both hosting Hopkins. So it's a triple header out at Maryland Stadium this Saturday.
Yeah, cool day. Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, actually, yep, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right,
yeah, man.
Thanks.
I saw that the kid from Damascus, is it Brian Bressy?
Oh, yeah, the defensive end stud.
That Bama wanted.
Everybody
wanted. Clemson
him.
Wanted. Well, Clemson ultimately got him.
He committed. He's already committed to Clemson.
He committed to Clemson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw him play last year, a man amongst boys.
You did see him?
Well, I mean, he came to Magruder High School, and Damascus is a powerhouse, and Magruder's trying to build themselves up, and he just had his way. I mean, he's that sort of player. Like, you see him on the field, and you're like, that dude is going to be a killer and a big program,
right?
Like, soon.
Right.
And he's headed to Clemson.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
We saw reports that Saban was up at Damascus going to see basketball games and Dabo. And
yeah. Dabo was at the Magruder gym watching him play hoops
right.
A few months ago. So everybody was hot on that.
Yeah, I think he announced yesterday, maybe the day before, he's going to Clemson.
Yeah.
So that's what happens when you win titles.
That's exactly.
You get really good
players. Get all the blue chip studs. When we come back, we'll touch on the Caps Canes Game 7, and we're also going to determine the very serious Junks NFL mock draft order.
It's a lot of prep goes into this.
So much prep, so much seriousness. That's coming up next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Remember, the only way you can take 106.7 The Fan with you is with the Radio.com app. Download it today if you haven't already. Put it on your phone. It'll take you 1 minute. If you're traveling in the United States, you can listen to The Junks, Grant and Danny, Chad Dukes versus the World. You can listen to anybody from 106.7 The Fan wherever you are, but you have to have the Radio.com app to do it. So do it already.
All right, so it's tradition that we do a mock draft on the show.
That's correct.
We've probably done it for 23 years.
We probably have. In one way, shape, or form, yes.
Now, we used to do it where we would have representatives from each of the teams, usually beat writers, maybe radio or TV guys, would be on the line, and the producers would have to call those guys and get them on the line. Right,
and they loved it. It was their favorite show of the year, every year.
We would actually do like a 2 or 3 minute, maybe 5 minute interview with the guy.
Yeah.
Kind of break down their needs, and then they would make the pick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's too hard.
Now we punted that away.
So now we're just doing it amongst ourselves. All right,
yeah.
So we got 15 guys from the station that will participate, including the Junks, the producers, Grant and Danny, Tom Daly, guys
okay,
like that.
Okay, good.
Even Sam Weiner, a sales guy.
Weiner's on the list?
Is he picking for the Ravens?
No. Well, unlike sucky teams, the Ravens have a later pick in the draft.
So who is he picking for?
Unlike sucky teams.
Whoever we draw out of the cup.
We're at the bottom of the barrel here. The Redskins pick 15. They used to pick like 5 or 6. It was a lot easier. So, you know, we got to get a few numbers in.
So we're getting Sam Weiner.
Hey, but let's just say he is a sales stud.
This is not because this is what we want to do. This is Jason's super serious mock draft.
This is how we are making it fun. We're putting dogs in it.
So I see serious. What you're doing.
This is Bickle having the grandmother from London on to talk to AWOD.
Yeah, this is your version.
Put a smile.
Oh, that was all way better.
All right, ready? All right, so what am I going to do? Just go down the list from Nick to EB?
Yeah,
just pick for the Skins since I'm the only Skins fan in the building?
No.
Why not?
Now, are there teams on these lists or
just teams?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So Nick Ashew. All right. Nick Ashew will select for the.
We don't have
what
to
about
do
teams
all the
that have two picks in the top? Like the Giants are in there twice.
Dolphins.
They're not going down to 17.
Not in the top 15.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. He's doing the Dolphins.
So he gets to pick. I believe they have the 13th pick.
Funny Danny is taking the Jags.
The Jags.
I think they're 7.
They're 7. Yeah. You break down the numbers. I don't know where they're.
If going. I can remember them all, I'll just throw them out there.
And the reason, and Jace, you just keep going. The reason why we're doing it like this is because EB blamed the producers last year of ruining the mock draft.
Yeah. What did you guys do? I don't remember it.
Valdez took 2 quarterbacks.
I took Sam Darnold and Baker
he was
Mayfield.
Doing like a stumper
no,
that, bit.
It's genius.
Yeah. He was loading up
no,
a quarterback.
It's genius.
Tom Daly, who should be kicked out, took Lamar Jackson.
Well, hold on. Why should Tom Daly be kicked out?
He took Lamar Jackson for the 49ers after they
the
traded.
The 9th pick.
After they already traded for the super good looking Garoppolo.
Jimmy Graham.
Oh, okay. Again, he just
why
wants to load up
that?
On quarterback depth.
Skits and bits.
Right.
Is that what it is?
This is dead. It's the super
so
serious
now
mock
we
draft.
We have to be so serious.
So did
with
you
our
ban
bits?
Tom Daly from this one?
No, we needed.
We needed bodies.
Yeah, we needed.
What do you mean? I'm genius.
I traded my pick to AWOD.
There's no trades.
No trades.
Oh, so
this is for
this
sports
is
losers only.
What?
Sports losers.
I watched ESPN. I don't know if they do it all the time, but they had a mock draft going yesterday, like a super serious mock draft yesterday.
Yeah, well, this is
they're
that's
going
us.
To the podium
super,
and everything.
John Collins stood up in Bristol like the last like 3 or 4
days.
And
I found myself watching a dumbass thing. I was watching a fake draft. I couldn't believe it.
Well, it's not that serious because I did ask
Try to find a commissioner.
Yes.
Yeah. And I asked security guard Carlos.
Oh, yeah. Carlos,
he's
going to
be the commissioner. He's trying to get the day off work to come in and do
Carlos
it.
Carlos the commish. I love it.
Oh, he's going to make me laugh.
That ensures that it won't be that serious if he can get the day off.
All right. Who are the junkies picking? That's what's most important.
Right. Correct.
Hold on.
Most important. Who's EB picking for?
I can't wait.
Well, I'm just going to pick a. I'm going to put no thought into other teams.
That EB gets the line.
Right. Has somebody gotten the skins yet, Jason?
Yes.
Who?
The worst producer in the world, Valdez.
You're so bitter.
Well, I don't. I mean, I've heard that this.
He can trade it with Eric.
Right. No, I don't care.
Cakes, I want the skins.
Cakes, you have the Packers.
Oh, where are they picking?
12th.
12th? Yuck. Right.
What team's left? Right. They're short a team?
They're short a team.
Yeah, good job. Good job, producers.
This is short serious. A team. You took too many out.
Is there a team that picks twice that they didn't realize in the top 15?
Hold on. 7, 8, 9. I don't. Oh, that's actually,
I think
that's
they have
the
slip of paper. Huh?
Do you know what?
That's what it is.
What?
We may have left one out.
You left one out.
I have a piece of paper over here.
For who? What team? Just say the team.
Yeah.
Broncos. 10.
Yeah, you're picking 10, EB. Right, you get to be John Elway Jr.
All right, so there it is. Bickle selects for the Broncos. Cakes, Packers. I'm selecting for the Falcons. Drabby.
You think I'm going to research their team needs tonight?
The Broncos. I think you are.
Quarterback.
The Broncos. Huh?
The quarterback.
You're quarterback? They got Flacco.
He's the short-term Drabby answer.
Drabby's going to take Bosa for the Niners. Valdez gets the Skins. Awad gets the Bengals. Daly gets the Bucks. Dukes gets the Raiders. McKinney gets the Jets. Sam Wiener Schnitzel gets the Cards. Brendan Dar gets Detroit. Rooster gets the Bills. Grant gets the Giants. Funny Danny gets the Jags. Nick Ashew gets Miami.
Grant gets to be Dave Gettleman Jr.
Hey, do you want to hear some of
He's not trading out of his pick.
Some of the previous picks
throughout
the history?
Please.
Yes.
Jason, we'll start with you. In 2014, you took Khalil Mack.
Winner.
Solid.
Hall of Famer.
2015, you took Leonard Williams.
Hall of Famer.
Well, let's knock it.
2016, you took Jared Goff.
Hall of Famer.
No way.
2017, he took Marshawn Lattimore. And 2018, he took Saquon Barkley.
Wow, pretty hard to take.
I got Hall of Famers.
I mean, could he have any higher picks?
I got 6 Hall of Famers.
Oh, my God.
Here, Cakes. Yeah. 2014, you took Johnny Manziel.
Oh.
I did that because I thought Cleveland needed a shot in the arm. I was not on Team Manziel.
What a loser. You picked loser.
2015, Cakes took Dante Fowler Jr.
He's had a checkered career so far.
To say the least.
2016, he took Laurmie Tunsil.
Oh. That was the guy that got high
with the gas mask.
The gas
How's
mask?
He been?
Was that a bit? Did you do that as a bit?
My draft record is very spotty.
Yeah, you're Gettleman.
2017, he took Jonathan Allen.
Well, good one. Stud.
And then 2018, he took Mike McGlinchey.
Wow.
The lineman.
Are these all at the Redskins GM? Or what the hell? This is just some various mocks.
This is various mocks.
Yeah.
Bickle.
Yeah, do me. Who cares about JP?
Yeah, let's see.
Well, last year, Eric took Vita Vea, but right. I don't have much history on him because I think he punts.
Oh, yeah. I probably
so you usually say you don't want to do it.
I complain.
Right. Yeah. Right. So we never really include you.
Hey, I hope you visited on the Broncos war room today.
I'm thinking all about their team needs tonight.
Drab, 2014, Mike Evans.
The Caps games is going on.
Mike Evans, stud.
2015,
hit.
Amari Cooper.
Hit.
2016, Vernon Hargraves.
Dud.
I don't even know who that is.
Dud.
2017, Solomon Thomas.
Poop.
Yeah. And then, like he said, in 2018, he traded with Adam.
I might be fired.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, me.
You and I might need to freshen up our resumes, Drabby.
Valdez. 2014, Greg Robinson. I think it's been a huge bust.
This is Matt Valdez.
2015, Marcus Mariota. 2016, Jalen Ramsey. 2017, Christian McCaffrey.
Hit.
And then last year, I took Darnold and Mayfield.
Hit. Your last four have been rock solid.
All right, so there you go. Mock draft set for what time are we going to do that tomorrow?
9:20.
I
can't believe I complain every year, so they don't even have a pick for me.
you literally have no draft history.
All right.
No mock draft history whatsoever.
I did like Manziel coming out. I'll say that. I liked him coming out.
Again, to defend myself. I didn't like Johnny Manziel, but I thought it was a good pick for Cleveland because I think they needed like a transformational type of quarterback, which he clearly was not.
Eric, are you targeting some secondary needs for the Broncos
sure.
since they're not going to re-sign Harris?
Sure.
You guys are balking.
They're in the Caps 15 game. I'll just be researching like crazy for the Broncos.
Like in between periods.
He's going to look at Pete Prisco's mock draft and take whoever he says.
His favorite.
His favorite guy.
That sounds like work.
You need this list? You obviously do, right?
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
And remember, it's super serious.
Super serious.
No laughing.
I'm going to have to dial in on the Packers team needs. Like, I'm sure I know what the Packers need.
Don't I have some draft magazine or something, some old info in there?
I'm sure you probably
remember, if Carlos is going to be the commissioner, he's got to do the official opening announcement by the that Goodell usually does.
Absolutely.
What is Goodell's opening where he gets booed?
Yeah, well, just whatever he says.
What does he ever say?
Like,
Welcome to the 2019. Yeah.
Maybe he'll get booed
lustily.
Can you
write some shtick for him?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, of course, that's a good bit for you, Valdez. Write some shtick for Carlos as the commish. An opening statement.
Hoping get off.
Weave in some shtick. Carlos won't get it, but it'll be funny to hear him read
Got
it.
About a minute left.
It'll be all over his head.
I am not making an official prediction on Caps Canes, but I'm just going to say I like the trend that the home team has won every game. That's what I'm just throwing that out there.
He's quietly confident.
I'm not picking anybody.
He's actually openly confident.
I'm not picking anybody or anything or any team.
I think you just officially doomed the
Caps.
Yeah,
but you could, reading between the lines, you officially picked the Caps.
Not really. I just like that trend.
Right.
I'm a fan of that trend. That's all.
I like the Caps, but barely.
So if they lose, everyone knows to blame Cakes tomorrow.
Yes, of course.
Monday starts bit season.
It's going to happen anyway, Valdez.
Peanut butter
no
jelly sandwich contest part two.
We're definitely going to do that.
I want to do grilled cheese. I think I make the best grilled cheese.
Well, I thought I made the best PB&J, and I got hosed by the judges. Yeah. So,
well, I was the rightful winner, of course.
Turkey and provolone.
All right, we have to get out of here. We're done for the day. Grant and Danny up next here on the Fan.
Let's go, Cat!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.